Hey, this is Laura.
And Steven.
And this is our podcast, Midday Musings, where we take our lunch break to talk about the things that are on our mind. Today, we're discussing Wim Wenders' new film, Perfect Days. It's a meditation on simplicity, happiness, and the power of a daily routine. Let's get into it. Hey there, Steven.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm relaxed. I'm actually relaxed today. It's great. It's a good
feeling. Oh, relaxation.
Yeah.
What a novel experience to have in the middle of a workday.
Yeah. You know, I've really just been a lot more deliberate about it these days. I realize you can go through life many different ways. You can choose to go through life stressed or relaxed or happy even. And it's so much more in your control to feel a certain way about how your life is than I think I initially thought. So that's pretty cool. Anyway, that's a lot for an intro, but here we are.
Yeah. Tell me, what has inspired this new approach to one's workday?
We saw this movie last week, Perfect Days.
Oh, yes. The Wim Wenders film.
Yeah, the Wim Wenders international film. And it just sat with me. And
so
first of all, it's very good. The quality, like cinematography, fantastic. Storytelling, great. The acting from Koji Yakusho and all of the other folks involved, fantastic. It's a very quiet film. It's a very quiet and contemplative film.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that really stuck with me about it is this guy, right?
This guy,
Hirayama. He lives a very, very simple life, incredibly simple. He works as a toilet cleaner in Japan.
Oh, yeah, the Tokyo toilet.
He cleans toilets for a living. He has a coworker who's very loud, very obnoxious, but charming and funny and whatever.
Yeah.
But this guy, he just has a routine every single day. He does the same thing every single week. And it actually seems to bring him a lot of centering and a lot of joy into his life. And watching him be, I would say, happy in this task, in this job, really inspired me. He takes pride in what he does. Everything he does, he seems to take a huge amount of pride in his getting up, folding his futon over, going to work,
tending his little tree saplings.
Oh, tending his little tree saplings. Every single day he tends to his tree saplings.
Getting that one can of coffee.
Yeah, that one can of Boss coffee. If you're familiar with Japanese coffees, that's the one. He gets that one can of Boss coffee, gets in his car, and goes to work.
Yeah, he selects a cassette tape.
Usually of like an American 70s or 80s artist, puts it in, and then drives to work. And that's his routine every single day. And when he goes to work, he has the same level of dedication and methodology and focus that I associate with like Renaissance painters.
Mm.
He is just, it's not that he's in love with what he's doing. He's just so interested in doing it well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not interested in ascending. He just takes pride in what he does.
Oh, and yeah.
He does that for 8 hours a day. He goes to
a local bathhouse,
takes a bath, sometimes goes and like hangs out with some people at a local eatery,
mm-hmm.
watches a show, and then he comes back home and he reads a little bit. He reads a William Faulkner book, falls asleep with his glasses in his hand, goes to sleep, and does all of that exact same routine the next day. And it was so calming. He didn't even talk. For the first 15 minutes of the movie, it is completely silent. And you're just watching this man go through and carefully, methodically do these things. And I said to myself, if he can be, it would appear, happy in this situation, in his particular profession, without really, you know, a ton of opportunity that he's not interested in or doesn't even seem to play into his world. He doesn't have a wife or kids or anything. If he can be happy in this very simple, small life, I think anyone can be happy anywhere. And I think it's not about what you have in front of you that makes you happy. I think it's what you do with what you have in front of you that makes you happy.
Dude, yes. Okay, so I watched this man perform his tasks of life and I thought immediately, oh, this is a system. What I'm observing is the result of a system. He wakes up and performs the same actions every single day.
Yeah.
every single workday. So wakes up, folds his mat, goes downstairs, brushes his teeth, waters his tree saplings, which he casually collects during his day-to-day existence, because the toilets that he cleans are often in parks. And so there are sometimes tree saplings that he can like just take, and he has a bag for it and like puts it in. He has a whole system going. And then he picks up his daily goods in order. So it's like takes his phone off the charger, grabs his wallet, grabs his keys, grabs a couple of quarters, or the yen equivalent of quarters, opens the door, looks up at the sky, sighs contentedly, closes the door, locks the door, goes to the vending machine outside of his house, puts in one of those coins, grabs the boss coffee, goes into his work truck, puts the boss coffee down, goes up into his little container of cassettes, looks at the cassettes, makes a choice, goes in, and it's like great music. It's Lou Reed, it is Morrison, like it's the classics, and they're incredible songs to listen to as you're driving through a gigantic city.
Yeah.
And then he does like the rounds at his job, which is different toilets around Tokyo. And they're all in like parks, beautiful locations. He takes his lunch in one park where he has a tree that he takes photographs of every single day, and finishes his loop, encounters people like a lost child, an American tourist who doesn't know how the toilet works,
yeah.
His coworker slash friend, Takashi, that guy's pseudo-girlfriend, a homeless man who's doing some version of Tai Chi slash reverence to gods, unclear. He like has a nodding relationship with a monk. It's amazing. This man has figured out what he likes. What he likes is trees rustling. What he likes is photography. What he likes is listening to music as he drives around. And what he likes is going home, putting away his stuff, taking off his clothes, getting on his bike to go to his local bathhouse. He knows the people there, leaves his local bathhouse, goes to his local noodle shop, and that guy knows him for years. That guy gives him a water with the declaration, "For all your hard work," every time he sees him. Like, this is a man who has sewn together everything that is both useful and pleasurable to him. And when you see a good system, you're just like, wow.
Yeah.
The design here. Exquisite. Perfect. I'm reminded of Stoicism, and particularly Ryan Holiday and his reflections of Stoicism. So Ryan Holiday is sitting around going, here's how you win life. You design your perfect day, and then you do it every day. And I'm like, Hirayama, you got this on lock. And during his weekends, amazing. He still wakes up a little bit later because, you know, weekends. He gets all of his little laundry stuff. He takes his laundry and puts it into the laundry machine at the laundromat. He goes and develops the pictures he's taken during the week. He goes through the pictures and he takes ones that are good and puts them into a tin that is then labeled with the month and year that these photos are taken. And he tears apart the ones that are not good in his opinion. It's so systematic. And then after that, he goes to his favorite bar slash noodle house run by a proprietor woman who he clearly has known for like 5 to 7 years, and he's really well liked there. It's
very
just
much.
Yeah, he's so in touch with his community without being extreme in any way.
No,
like he doesn't force himself on anything. He exists like a leaf in the wind, and it's that beautiful thing where relationships have grown naturally over time,
mm-hmm.
not through aggressive tending, not through trying to make connections, but rather just by slowly and surely being absorbed into the environment and the community and the ecosystem and being a part of it, like truly belonging.
Mm-hmm.
I love this man's life. I see how it could be achieved by anyone. And what is unique about him is that he conceives of the world as millions of worlds put together, and some worlds touch and some worlds don't. And his world, beautifully self-contained, but it isn't touched by the worlds of manly ambition. It is monastic in nature. We could all learn something from this. And of course, over the course of the film, interruptions are introduced into his life. And whereas some films would use this as an opportunity to put the protagonist into some sort of downward spiral or upward spiral, because there are options to ascend, but there are options to degrade his routine as well.
Oh, yeah.
He just gets right back on his routine. His coworker interrupts his daily routine by demanding a ride somewhere and then taking him to a cassette shop and asking for money to go to what I think is a hostess club. That's where his girlfriend seems to work.
Something like that.
And then he runs out of gas and he's like, rah, and he handles that problem, but he's right back on his routine the next day. And then his niece comes to visit for a couple of days and that upsets his routine. But he calls his sister, gets her back together, and we learn a little bit about his family life that way. And he is back on his routine.
Yeah, no matter what happens to him, he doesn't seem inclined to leave his routine. But when his routine is interrupted, it doesn't seem to derail him or upset him in any way. He goes, well, all right, I can deal with this. You brought up a really good point, is that if this was a Western mainstream movie, this would probably be a rom-com or something where this guy lives alone, or some kind of feel-good comedy where this guy lives alone and like one of his family members comes into his life, his niece comes into his life, and they get really close, and now she's going to live with him, but she's also going to help him get a better job and all of these things. Or, you know, he meets someone at the bar and they grow close over the course of this movie, and then all of a sudden now they're dating by the end of it and that's the happy resolution, or he finds a better job or something. Those are fine. I like those approaches, but that's not what this movie was about at all. This movie was about wherever you are, be happy with it. Wherever you are, develop a system, because it's not that circumstances make people happy. Systems, I believe, can make you happy.
Yeah.
If you have a good routine that you love to do, like Ryan Holiday said, as you mentioned, a good routine, the perfect routine that you have developed, do it every single day. That will make you happy more than anything. There's a quote that I'm stealing from this guy, Andrew Peacock, who does like, he's on Threads, he does a YouTube thing. The quote that he references is, if you're not happy with a coffee, you won't be happy with a yacht. Mm. And I've thought sometimes, well, I make a certain amount, but what if I doubled that? Or what if I tripled that? Or what if I quadrupled that? That would be really nice. But then I think to myself, but would that actually make me happier? Mm-hmm. Not really, because I would still be me. Mm-hmm. I would still be the same me that exists today. And until you have like an ironed out system that is filled with joy and things that you would enjoy to do, and not just things you have to do. And if you take pride in whatever you do, in the work you do, whether it's cleaning toilets or building skyscrapers, I think that's really what this movie is about. No matter what you're doing, you can choose to have a life that is both contained, not out of control, and happy. You just have to develop the right systems. You don't need all of this stuff to be happy, as we've been told.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. I mean, Japan is hyper-capitalistic as well, right? Just like America. They are made in our image. You're welcome. But that is not necessarily, it should not necessarily have any bearing on your life. You must survive, obviously. But you don't have to pursue the goals and aims that everyone else does. I think what's really brilliant about this film is that it has Hirayama's simple life pushed up against the sort of aspirational money-making salarymen of Tokyo, right? You can tell because they're dressed in business formal. And when we are first introduced to a salaryman, we see them like slumped over, clearly post-alcoholic passout in the early dawn hours of Hirayama going and cleaning a local toilet. He is asleep at first, and then he like stumbles into the bathroom and you're like, oh boy, you might be the image of success in your culture, but this does not look fun.
No.
And we also have a couple of those salarymen at Hirayama's noodle place that he goes to every workday. And they're just like loud and drunk and brash. And even though they are the model of what is culturally aspirational, none of their behavior looks aspirational when pushed against Hirayama's way of living.
Yeah.
And I think that's brilliant. I also think that it quietly tells you that what will make you happy is knowing yourself. Mm. People talk a lot about interpersonal intelligence, the intelligence of working between people, but there's another form of intelligence called intrapersonal intelligence, and that's how well you know yourself.
I love that.
Right? It's great. Hirayama knows himself. He knows what he likes. He knows what will give him pleasure, and he knows how to be temperate. He doesn't seem to seek vice except in one instance where there is an emotional upset that I think is romantically related, but we never resolve it. We don't know. The only time we even see him touch beer is after he sees the proprietor of the noodle shop he goes to on his weekends hugging her ex-husband. And we're like, oh, wait, maybe this is something. And he like goes to the shop, gets three beers and one pack of cigarettes that are named Peace. Like it is Peace brand cigarettes.
What a name.
Amazing. We haven't seen him drink at all. And we watch him light a cigarette and he coughs aggressively. So it's clear he hasn't smoked a cigarette in a really long time. Every other moment in this film, we watch him drinking water. Anyway, this man has simple pleasures. He likes to read. He goes to his local bookshop and grabs a dollar bin book every weekend, pays for it. The lady who runs the shop talks to him about that book, and he goes off on his way, reads it over the week, and does it all again the next week. If you know what you like, you do not have to pursue vices or distractions or what other people tell you is valuable.
It's true.
I too seek to live a relatively viceless existence. And, you know, I'm about the books and the exercise and baths and rest and looking at new things and going to museums. Like, that's what I like. They're still quiet, small things. And I saw in Hirayama the end goal of all of my intrapersonal exploration of the knowing of myself, figuring out what makes my perfect life. Hirayama has figured out what has made his perfect life. We should all be so lucky. Look within.
Yeah. I love how quiet he is because you can see everything that's happening within him. And he doesn't seem to be upset about almost anything that's happening in his life. He seems either stoically acceptant or moderately happy.
Yeah.
He never seems devastated. He also never seems overjoyed. But again, I think that comes back to stoicism. He lives a life where things can't upset him or they can't control him through getting overly excited.
Mm-hmm.
He lives a life where he's actually fully in control of everything that happens within it, everything he feels within it. And just watching him quietly feel things while being surrounded by people who are being loud and talking and besides his coworker Takeshi, none of them seem to comment on the fact that he's very, very quiet. They accept that. They actually like that about him. The proprietor of the sushi bar that he goes to even says, oh, you're such an intellectual. You're always reading and thinking. And he's like, oh, no, not so much. I find it very interesting also who he chooses to talk to and who he doesn't.
Totally.
Because, and also he has a very interesting sense of when to do certain things. Like when work is happening, he completely focuses and commits to doing work. When work is done, he does nothing work related. On the job, he doesn't talk to people. He's very self-contained. At a certain point, someone leaves a note that he finds and he immediately just throws it away, but addresses it after the fact because it's like a game that someone left.
Oh, yeah. It's a tic-tac-toe game.
It's a tic-tac-toe game.
He continues playing over the course of the week. Someone has the little tic-tac-toe six square things and has drawn a circle in the center. And it's just tucked into one of these bathroom areas. And at first he's like, this is trash. And he looks at it and he's like, oh, tic-tac-toe game. Puts it in his trash. And then he thinks about it. And it gets done. And he pulls it out of the trash. Does a little X in one of the fields, pushes it back to where it was in the toilets. And every single day someone has drawn a circle and then he responds with an X. And so it goes until a Cats game happens. And then the person is just like, thank you, smiley face.
And then that's it. That's the end of that interaction.
That's it. But how delightful.
Yeah. So he's connecting to his community all throughout this process.
He's so connected despite his evident stoicism.
Yeah. And like I said, he at work, very quiet, incredibly reserved, put together, focused. And also worth noting, when he goes to work, he doesn't bring his watch. Every single morning, he wakes up to the sound of this elder person sweeping the streets. Every single morning. He doesn't have an alarm.
Yeah, that's his alarm clock.
His alarm clock is this old person sweeping the streets. That wakes him up. He goes to work. And notably, he doesn't bring a watch with him. He doesn't bring a watch. You don't even know if he has a cell phone until later on when he gets one call during work. But you never see him. You never see him interact with a cell phone, and he doesn't bring a watch to work.
Well, wouldn't it be weird to bring a watch when your hands are in water all the day.
That is fair. That makes sense. I thought it was something to do with, oh, he doesn't need to track time because his day is kept by the measures of his work and work environment. I mean,
why not both?
That's true. I noticed he does put it on after
oh, work, yeah, on his days off. He wears his watch.
Yeah. But just such a simple such a simple life and seems so happy. I'm genuinely jealous.
Are you not happy?
I mean, I am.
You're like, but I could be happier.
I could be happier.
Maybe that is the core of your unhappiness. The desire always for more happiness. I'm reminded of Mad Men's Don Draper, who no one should listen to for life advice, but who once said, and what is happiness? A moment before you need more happiness.
Oh my gosh. You know what? When I think about ambition is the desire for more. So no matter what you have, you always want more. And I think that's worth considering if that's the right thought or not.
I mean, is ambition the need for more? I think
it's the need to be more, the desire to be more.
I know what it literally means, but I think it's one of those words that has a lot of personal meaning for people. Mm-hmm. And so if you asked me what ambition was, I would probably say that it is the desire to see my impact on the world. Mm. And he does see that. Like, his cleaning toilets every day is measurable impact on the world.
Yeah.
And they actually say that manual laborers tend to be more satisfied because they have that relationship to their reality. They can see what they've done. Whereas knowledge workers like us, we work inside of a computer and nothing about it is real. So we never see the fruits of our labor, even if we know they're there.
Yeah.
They're so abstract. And that makes it difficult to feel like you've ever done anything.
It makes sense that a lot of tech workers that I know get into woodworking and get into pottery and get into gardening and all of these things, because it's a physical connection with their reality and they can actually see something grow, something develop with their own hands.
Yeah. Remember how he's like growing a bunch of trees?
Yeah.
He clearly has a passion for trees. He's taking pictures of trees. He's just like sighing contentedly as he looks up into trees at breaks in his day. Like, this man is a tree friend.
Yeah. He is an expert on routine and happiness. Honestly, he gets it. I love that his niece, seeing him look up at this tree when she goes to spend some time with him, says, "Is that tree your friend?" And he goes, he looks up and thinks about it and goes, "You know what? Yes, it is. This tree is my friend."
Mm-hmm.
Because he spends so much time with it every single day.
Yeah. I love the scenes of him taking lunch in the park.
Oh my gosh.
I myself have taken lunches in parks, as I'm sure we all have. Walked out of the office and just found ourselves a bench under a tree. And it does have a uniquely beautiful sensation attached to it. Mm-hmm. You're just like, ah, leaves. Ah, right. Quiet. Ah, nature. Even it's if nice. It's like the manicured nature of a park, it feels good to be outside just snacking and looking and living.
Yeah. You know, this movie really does feel like the antidote for anxiety, the antidote for internet overwhelm.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
If you are at all overwhelmed by the modern world, just get yourself to a theater that's showing Perfect Days, or I think it's available to be rented/purchased on Prime Video right now. I think it's worth noting just at the end of this that Wim Wenders directed it. He is a German filmmaker, and he's actually very well known. He's an Oscar-winning German filmmaker.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he did the cult classics Wings of Desire and Paris, Texas.
Nice.
Which you probably heard of but may not have seen. Anyway, the idea of a German writer-director, because he wrote and directed this, doing this movie in Japan fascinates me. I think there's something there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there totally is. I can see how he would have been very interested in this, because it's like the exact opposite of what we associate with German like work ethic and German culture, at least me personally, coming from a German background. But you're right, there's something there.
Yeah. I think the thesis of this film is that there is pleasure and happiness in whatever you choose to do if you choose deliberately what you do.
Yeah.
And that's just a theory. A Laura theory.
I like that Laura theory. I just feel more relaxed having taken some of those lessons and just incorporated them into my life. And that's why this morning, the last couple of days even, I've been waking up and just going outside and just laying on a yoga mat and looking up at the sky. It's made my day a lot more relaxing. So yeah, I highly recommend the film.
Yeah, go see it when you can, guys. It's a great use of 2 hours of your time.
Yeah, check it out. All right, that said, listeners, thanks for tuning in. If you want to hear more about movies like this, let us know, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye. This has been Steven.
And Laura.
Thanks for tuning in to Midday Musings, the podcast where we talk about all the things on our mind. Be sure to follow us on Spotify and jump into the conversation in our polls and Q&As. We would love to hear from you. Catch you next lunch break.